Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Father, I pray that that'll be more than just a song. But Lord, let it be a cry of our heart. Lord, especially right now as we face a kind of a new year, Lord, and we look to see things change in some areas. We look to improve in some other areas. Lord, I think deep down, each and every one that come here today has some kind of tugging on their heart. Lord, just to grow in Christ. Just to come to know you in a greater way this year. So, Lord, let this be a blessed year. Lord, as we come together. And Father, we know that this cannot happen unless your Holy Spirit moves in a mighty way in our heart. But Lord, we want to take every initiative, we want to take every step to position ourselves to open up our hearts. And Lord, we want to say to you, Lord, whatever is needed, do it in our hearts. Do it in our lives today, Lord. Bless our time as we have opportunity to open up the Word and open up our hearts to receive everything that you have now. In Jesus' name we pray. Let it be done. Let it be done. Let's give God thanks and praise for, man, just a great time already. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. We're going to be in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 in the New Testament. We're going to be sharing from that in just a moment as we come. You received several handouts as you came in, but kind of a note handout. In the title, rather than be real fancy about the title, it's just Connect, Serve, and Grow, because that's what this weekend is all about. But let me kind of explain that a little bit. A couple times a year, what we're doing is we're setting aside weekends and to emphasize the importance of connecting, of serving, and growing in our relationship with Christ and our relationship with one another. So as you come in, you see the whole atrium area is kind of decked out, and there are different ministries that are highlighted, and then you received kind of a map and a list of all those ministries that are here. There are 30-some ministries mentioned here, but then kind of give you a little map of where to go and find the different ministries where they're located. Although it has the title of Connect, Serve, and Grow, it might come across like, you know, maybe we're just calling people to more of the working out, the works of your relationship with the Lord, and to get involved for involvement's sake. So that kind of bothered me a little bit that maybe we'd even think that, although that's valuable. But I want to answer this question today. Why? Oh, what is the value to us personally of getting connected, serving, and growing? So I want to answer that question, why. What's the why behind what we're doing here today? And you're going to find out it's a lot more than just seeing more people involved. It's a lot more than ministries getting someone on their list that they can have available to them to carry out what God has called them to. That goes far deeper than that. The meaning, we don't want to do anything for anything's sake. We just got to have some kind of meaning and depth to it. So we're going to answer the question why, okay? So we're going to do that by looking at Hebrews chapter 12. Let me just take a moment and kind of set it up. In Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to take time. I'm not going to read all of the chapter. I'm going to read actually five verses, two in the beginning and the last three verses, and we're going to see how they fit together and bring our message. But let me tell you kind of a little bit of how I ended up in Hebrews. I was thinking about this particular weekend, and already what I said was kind of weighing on me. It's got to come across, and it's got to be clear of why we do this. And I thought of the word shaken. I don't know, it just kind of came to me, just the word shaken. And then the thoughts that followed that immediately was some reference to the scriptures that I knew that God talked about, both in the Old Testament, I remembered, and the New Testament, of that God was going to shake the world. that there is a shaking that was going to take place. There has been a shaking in the past, but there's a shaking going to happen in our world. And I thought, Lord, not only is it going to happen, but I begin to reflect on there's been a whole lot of shaking going on. Matter of fact, that was going to be my title, but I thought, hey, I'm not going to get cute. But, you know, a whole lot of shaking going on. And there has been. In all reality, if I look back over the last 5 years, or even a decade, which is not a whole lot of time, there are things that have been happening that weren't happening the previous 30 years. So I'm only talking about my short time of knowing the Lord. It's 40-some years now, and knowing the Lord. That really is a short time when you consider all of history. But I have to say, God, things are different. And they seem to intensify. There seems to be, I don't know, maybe it's because of technology and the media that we're more aware of these things are happening. I don't know what the reason is, but I do know that when you look at our world and you look at the events of our world, the economy in the United States, not only the economy in the United States, but let's look at what's happening in the world. It's changing. Our world, that's been shaking. And as a result of the economy, that shakes individual lives up. There are people that have held good, steady jobs and been very prosperous, and in a moment of time, they don't have a job. How many know that'll shake your life up? So you got it all laid out, and you're expecting certain things to happen. You kind of have a plan for your life and raising your family, and it changes overnight. That'll shake you up. There's been relationships. I've seen marriages shaken to the very core, and people unstable, unsure about the future. And with all this in mind, I thought, God, where is that? So I began to search the scriptures, and I found that the verse that I was actually looking for in Hebrews chapter 12, which refers back to another verse in Haggai. It's an Old Testament chapter 2, where it basically says the same thing. So the writer of Hebrews is referring back to that. So I said, Lord, how does this all tie in? Well, let's try to do that. I'm going to look at Hebrews chapter 12. And when I was reading Hebrews chapter 12, I looked at it and I read it in five different translations. Because I see a benefit in doing that. Now, I personally use the New King James Version, and that's where I started out. So I read it in the New King James Version, and I liked that version. But then I read it in the NIV version. Then I looked at the NLT, which is the New Living Translation, and then I looked at it in the Living Bible, and I ended up looking at it in the Amplified Version. Now, what a translation is simply that there are individuals or groups of individuals who've taken the original manuscripts as close as possible, like in the Greek and the Hebrew, and they've taken those words, and what they've done is when they looked at a word in the original, whether it be Hebrew or Greek, then they looked for an English word that would best describe what was being said. That's simply what they do. So they come up with a word. So the different translators sometimes come up with a different word, and that's okay. But the Amplified Version, why I like reading it from time to time, it's long, so it takes a little longer to read. And the reason it's longer is because when it found a word, not only did the translator say, listen, we're just going to look at one descriptive English word, let's put a couple of them down. So what you find is maybe two or three or four descriptive English words to try to explain the text. And sometimes you get a fuller picture of that. Now, if you say, well, I like reading the such and such version, and by golly, don't try to tell me to do anything else. That's cool. Do it. Don't get hung up on it. Do it. But don't deny other people to read their version. And there are a lot of valid versions that come from that are available to us today, and I think you get a picture of it. All right, so I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to read these verses. If you want to look at it in Hebrews chapter 12 and follow along, I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version as you begin to see it. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 follows Hebrews chapter 11. Duh. Okay, so it's kind of... But let me make a point here. The original word was written in letter form. So the translators not only translated the words, but they also decided, they said, okay, there seems to be a transition here. There seems to be moving into a different thought. So let's put it in chapters. Here's chapter 11, and here's chapter 12. But many times it just overlaps, and we have to see it that way. So the chapters are for our sake. The verses are for our sake and for our study of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, most of us know that that's the chapter that talks about faith. It describes faith for us. It tells us the value of faith. It gives us examples of men and women who walked in faith. It's a list of the heroes of faith, if you will. So when you read that chapter, it's an exciting chapter. It's fun to read, it's fun to look at, and you kind of get a picture of what faith is and what it means to follow through and walk by faith. Then we move into Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, and notice how it starts. Therefore, say that with me, therefore. The therefore is there for a reason. Therefore, so because we've just read what we read, therefore, knowing this, having this understanding, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Now, immediately, all you have to do is read that particular verse, and you kind of get an idea that the writer here is definitely trying to make a point. He has just shared with us these things about faith, but now he's trying to get it into us. He said, okay, how's it going to work in you? What do you need to do to become a man or a woman of faith? What will it take for you to grow in faith? What will it take for you? Because, you see, these people that have walked this walk, they're witnesses to your life. They already bore testimony to the truth, and we're surrounded by these witnesses. Now, I don't know how you look at that, but many people have said is that God, from time to time, opens up heaven, and he allows those that are living in heaven right now to kind of look down on what's going on the world. Whether or not that be true or not, I think we have some indication that there is an opening up. There is some kind of communication between heaven and earth from time to time. And I think it just might be this way. But the picture that's being painted here is running a race. So if you can picture yourself in a race, which it's hard for me to picture myself running any race at this particular time, but in a race, that along the route, you have people that are cheering you on, usually family members. They're going to go to your meet, whether you're running a 100-yard dash or you're running a marathon, especially if you're running a marathon. It's a big challenge, endeavor. So you have people that line the streets of a marathon. If you ever watch them, these people are running down there, and they're cheering, and they have glasses of water that are being handed out, and you can grab a glass of water, and you can do that, and they're saying, you're okay, you're doing well, 20 more miles. I don't know how that could be real encouraging, but you know, 20 more miles or 10 more miles, or you're almost there, keep it up. And this is the picture I believe the writer's trying to get across. We're running a race. And since we're running this race, there's certain things that we need to do. Now notice what he says here. You gotta strip off. You gotta throw aside every encumbrance or weight. And that sin that so readily, notice here that there's their need because you see there's these cleverly tactics that come our way, that cling to us, entangle us. There are things that can mess us up along the way. And we need to consider this race patiently, with patient endurance. And I want to tell you, I'm not one that has much patience. And I know there are a lot of people who can say amen to that. But I don't have any patience with this sling whatsoever. I mean, it's bothering. I'm at the point where it's very annoying. And I know I thank God for no pain that has come as a result of the surgery, but the most pain I have is patiently trying to wear this when I'm supposed to wear it. Well, a lot of us approach life like this. It takes patience if we're going to be successful. Steady, be steady, be active, persistent. Now, here's what being saying here. You've got to take some initiative if you're going to win this race. If you really want to be a man or a woman of faith, there's an initiative you need to take. It's going to be your responsibility. You can't just sit back and expect that a life of faith is going to happen for you, that things are going to happen for you for the good, that you're going to grow in maturity. You're going to become everything God wants you to become just because you said it's going to be that way. There has to be initiative, and it's very clear here. We need to look away from all that will distract, verse 2 tells us. And we got to look to Jesus. He's the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and he is also the finisher, the one who brought to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross. Listen to these words. Despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And Jesus is our example, but notice the message in here is that you got to have a goal ahead of you. You got to have something ahead of you that when you're challenged to give up, or the thing that will keep you from being entangled or deceived, or the thing that will keep you, distract you, you've got to have something that's bigger and greater than the distraction. Otherwise, you're going to get off course real easy. So there's some enduring, there's some pressing ahead. And I think to sum up verses 1 and 2 is simply this. First of all, God wants us to be men and women of faith. He wants us to succeed in this life. He wants us to take hold of his promises, set them before us as goals, set before us a goal or something to attain to the maturity in Christ and take initiative to do that. So to sum it up, it's saying, listen, that's part of who we are. We're to keep moving ahead. Now, without going into all the other verses that are found then, I want to jump down to the last three verses. Because in the last three verses, we read in between there that Jesus has made it all possible for us to be what God wants us to be. We don't lack anything. It's not like we can blame it on God. God, you didn't provide the resources or the tools that were needed in my life. It's all there for us. The question is, are we taking advantage of it? Do we see this walk with Christ as soberly as this writer wants us to see it? Do we have the ambition to really have everything that God wants for us in our lives? Do we have that kind of ambition? Or are we kind of just like getting by? I don't want to just get by in 2013. And let me tell you why. Is what we're going to read right now, is because you see there's too much shaking going on. And the Bible makes it very clear here that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Let me look at those verses now. In verses 26, 27, 28. He said, then at Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he has given a promise, yet once more I will shake and make tremble not only the earth, but also the heavens. Now this expression, yet once more, say that once more. We know it's coming. Indicates the final removal and transformation of all that can be shaken. That is, that which has been created in order that what cannot, say cannot, be shaken may remain and continue. It makes it very clear here that there are some things that can be shaken, and a result of the shaking, they're going to be removed. The end result will be they'll be removed. Then there are other things that cannot be shaken, and they're going to remain. Now, here's my prayer for you today, that you have going on for you in your life the things that cannot be shaken. In other words, there's the stability. You have positioned yourself. You have allowed yourself. You have set a course for yourself that what you're adding to your life are things that will help you when the shaking takes place. That's how we're going to get to connect, serve, and grow. Because the why behind it is to help you, to help me, have those things going in my life, have those things as foundational in my life that when the shaking does take place, not if, but when it does take place, and as it takes place, the things that are important are going to remain. I want to look at the Living Bible, those last couple verses for a moment, especially verses 26 and 27. In the Living Bible, it says, the next time he says, I will not only shake the earth, but the heavens too. By this, he means that he will sift out everything without solid foundation. Say solid foundation. Without solid foundation. So that only unshakable things will be left. Verse 28 says, since we have a kingdom nothing can destroy, let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts and with holy fear and awe, for God is a consuming fire. This, if I were to sum up everything that I read about this verses, it basically is telling us this. There are things that you could be actively involved in that are kingdom things. That if they are kingdom things, then when the shaking comes, those things will remain in your life. If what you're involved in is not kingdom things, then when the shaking comes, those are the things that are going to fall to the side. And when I begin to see that, I said, God, that's the message of the whole Word of God. That is your bottom line message, is what you're telling us is the kingdom. You need to be involved in the kingdom, the things of the kingdom, actively pursuing the things of the kingdom, because when the shaking comes, those are the things that are going to remain. No matter what happens in this life, those things will remain. Now, my goal for 2013 is to look at my life again and say, God, is what I'm doing, or the things that I'm doing, are they kingdom things? Now you say, well, what does it mean? Does that mean to be super spiritual, we hide ourselves out in the four walls of a church? No. Kingdom things could be that you're raising your family the way God wants you to raise your family. Kingdom things might be that I'm doing the best job that I possibly can, but I'm doing it for the glory of God and for the kingdom's sake, and not for self-preservation or just to build myself my own kingdom. How many are getting what I'm saying here? Those are the things. That's the attitude. That's the approach. That what I do, I weigh out everything I do. I look at my time. I say, God, does God want us to have free time to ourselves? Absolutely. But behind all that is, I want free time to myself so that I can re-energize, so that I can continue to do what will bring glory to God and His kingdom. Not for the sake of just having more time to myself and more time for my family. Is the family important? Absolutely important. But if I put the family ahead of the kingdom and pursuing the things of God, then it becomes one of those distractions, because not all the distractions are going to be obvious. Would you agree? They're just going to be subtle. Subtly, we're distracted by our culture. Subtly, we're distracted by our society. Subtly, by the message of the world, the media, and all of that. All of these become distractions to what is really important. What is really important in our lives. So, what is really important? Because, you see, shaken, the word means to waver, to topple, to disturb. Now, recently, there have been several storms, and we look back over the last 5 years or so, and we can begin to name devastating storms. One more recently on the East Coast. That one hit home a little bit because I've got family that are back east, and you're always concerned about family in the New Jersey and the Pennsylvania and the New York area, what's happened in their homes. But when you begin to look at the devastation that took place in a very short period of time, it's unbelievable sometimes. It's overwhelming for people to stand beside their totally destroyed house and know that they lost everything. But I asked Terry to put a group of pictures together here, and I want to flash those pictures up before you. This is an aerial view of some of the destruction. Go back to that one a little bit, a couple seconds more. But look at this aerial view or look at this side view. It's obviously someone standing there. But everything around there is just kind of crumbled down. All right, now we can go through it. And look at that. I mean, what the windstorm can do, what a flood can do, what a hurricane or tornado can do to small buildings and large buildings alike. as you stand there and see the what an earthquake can do. Now, I want you to notice something. What do you notice in each and every one of these pictures that's still there? Foundations, don't you? I mean, everything else is gone. Everything's a heap of just what used to be a nice home or a nice building, and yet you still see the foundation. That's what we're trying to get to here today. The why behind Connect, Serve, and Grow is this, is that why do I need to be connected? Why do I need to be serving? Why do I need to continue to grow? Because you see, those are the things that are foundational to your life. Those are the things that when the storms come, when the fiery trial comes, when the winds of adversity come, those are the things that are going to help you remain and continue on doing what God has called you to do. These are foundational things that you want to look at. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he was concerned about people's lives and their maturity. As you look at this verse, he saw himself as a leader. He saw himself that he had a responsibility. I see myself as having a responsibility to you, to keep pointing out. Might seem like I'm harping sometime, but keep pointing out that, listen, you've got to have these things in your life. You got to be working toward these things. These have to be part of your daily ambitions. And Paul said, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. In other words, I've told you about Christ. I told you about, you know, that you need to forsake our old ways and living under the law and living according to selfish ways, and you need to begin to build your life on Christ. Paul pointed out, which is the cornerstone of every foundation, and that is Jesus Christ. And let me stop there for a moment. For you to approach 2013 with a list of New Year's resolutions, or this is what I want to accomplish, or, and they might be ambitious goals, they might be worthy goals, but if you don't have the cornerstone in place, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not going to work. You got to start with a cornerstone. So I ask you today, have you invited Christ into your heart to be your Savior? I want you to think about that for the rest of this service. I want you, and why not? What is the reason? What holds you back? What's distracting you? What's causing you not to take that step? Because I want to tell you that with all the love of Christ in my heart, that you can't go anywhere without that. Because the things that you might build your life on and you might become, when the storm really comes and the last shaking really comes, those things will be done away with. Only Christ remains. But Paul said, not only does he have, he's given us his foundation, but flip that back up there again. He said, I have laid the foundation, and another, get this, another builds on it, but let each one take heed. Say, take heed. How he builds on it. That's what we're talking about here. The connecting, the serving, and growing are the steps that you take, the initiative that you take. You are building on that foundation of Christ. You're building a house that will bring glory to Christ. And that's what he wants. He wants your house. He wants this house. He wants your life to reflect his glory. So are you taking the initiative, doing what is necessary to build the right things in your life so that when everything is shaken, those things are going to remain in you? Connect. What does it mean to connect? It is important. What is the value of connecting? We already somewhat answered the why, but what is the value of connecting? I want you to note here in Acts chapter 2, the very beginnings of the church. When the church was filled with the Spirit and it began, that message of Christ began to spread. Notice what they did. They joined with other believers in regular attendance at the apostles' teaching sessions, at communion service like we had here today, at prayer meetings. They worshiped together regularly at the temple. They met in small groups and homes with great joy and thankfulness, praising God. You read that and you say, man, they were somewhat radical about this decision. Don't you? And you know what I say? Yeah, they were. But You know, their lives reflected God's glory. The kingdom expanded. It blew up because of their commitment. How radical should we be in our commitment to Christ? As radical as you can get. I'm not calling you to a life of just sloppy, you know, just total abandonment of all responsibilities to pursue this religious thing you're involved in. No, I'm talking about the kind of life that is going to work, kind of life that's going to last. You know what they did? They regularly came and heard the Word of God. Do you know what regularly is to an American Christian? If I make it once a month, that's regular. If I go two, that's more than regular. And God help me if I do it three and four times. Now I'm in the radical area. They did it all the time. They met for regular attendance. Let me challenge you with this in 2013 until Jesus comes back. Make attendance to hear God's word with God's people a regular thing week after week in your life. Sure, there are going to be times when God's going to say, listen, take your family and go to the mountains. But if it's take your family and go to the mountains 3 weeks out of the month, there's something wrong, folks. You need the feeding of God's word. They not only did that, but they were regular attending communion time and prayer meetings. Ooh, prayer meetings. When's the last time you went to a prayer meeting? When's the last time when the church called for a prayer meeting, you were there? If you can't even think of a time, there's something wrong with that. Because there are prayer meetings going on all throughout the year, various prayer opportunities, men's prayer meetings, women's prayer meetings, collective prayer meetings. Prayer meetings are important. Well, you say, my plate is full. How many would say in here, in all honesty, and I'm going to put my hand up, my plate's full. Come on, is your plate full? Sure it is. All of our plates are full. But what are they full with? Might be good things, but are they kingdom things? Are they advancing your position with Christ? Are they helping your family? Are you setting an example for your children? The kind of example, listen, you can involve them in all kinds of things that entertain them, but are those things going to keep them when the storms of life hit later on? You got to answer that question, mom, dad. What kind of example are you setting? Fathers, in your worship time, they would continue to worship God. What kind of example are you setting? Dad, mom, together? Do you have this regular? How many are getting this? Or you're saying, please move on. No, I'm not going to move on. You got to connect. It's a foundational thing. They're all kind of opportunities to connect with the body of Christ. Serve. What's in this service thing? Everything. It was Jesus. He's a prime example. One of the last messages he gave to us was at the Last Supper there, that meal that he had, that Passover meal before he suffered and died. And do you know what he did at that table? He went around and washed the feet of the disciples. And he was telling us something there. He said, listen, if I'm the master and can wash your feet, how much more should you wash one another's feet? You know what Jesus was saying? Serve one another. Are you serving one another? Are you involved in some kind of serving? Are you serving the body of Christ and the needs of the body so that we can provide an atmosphere for people to come in and be saved and grow in their faith? They're serving in the Sunday school area. They're serving in the usher's ministry. They're serving in the greetings ministry. Are you serving in the community? We have community service opportunities. There are people regularly visiting nursing homes and jail ministries, and I hear these reports all the time. And people are serving in those ministries, serving with missionary partners. And if you have all kind of excuses, all kind of distractions, and you're entangled with all kind of things that you can't be involved in serving, then you're missing a foundational truth of God's word, that when the storms come, you see, you don't know the value, you don't know what God can do by his spirit. As you serve others, God's feeding back into you. It's just a principle. Just as there are many parts to our bodies, Paul said in Romans, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes everyone, say everyone, let's say it again, everyone, of us to make it complete. For we each have different work to do, so we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. You have some things that I don't have. You have some things that the person you're sitting with or behind or in front of, they don't have. But together as we serve, we're going to make up the body of Christ. Listen, I found the value just being kind of limited with this annoying thing right here. The rest of the body has had to chip in a lot. You know, there's a lot of our people in this body that are hurting that need your service. They need you to be there. They need you to work alongside of them. Serving is important. Growing. What's the value of growing? Well, I think we know the value of growing. I think it's a natural thing. It should be a spiritual. Spiritually, it should be a natural thing. But what initiative have you taken to make sure that you're growing in an understanding of God's word and his ways? Well, I do come every week, and I listen to you, and I like that. If that's all you're doing, you're not doing enough. I'll tell you right now. What I can present, and I love doing it, and as long as God's grace is on me, I want to keep doing that. But what are you doing on your own? When's the last time you opened the Bible on your own and read it? When's the last time you really took an initiative and said, I'm going to be part of a Bible study with other men, with other women, with other couples? Or I'm going to find some opportunity that I can really get together and study the Word of God. Have you done that? Folks, you got to do it. We're in a time when there's too much shaking going on. There are too many decisions to be made. There's too many distractions that if we don't take some initiative, we don't have a goal. This is what I'm going to do in 2013. I'm going to read the Word. I'm going to get in a Bible study. Listen, I challenge you. Ask yourself that question. Put it before yourself, that question. There's something we have, and I'm going to emphasize this because it's starting up again, and it's something that's been available to this church for 40 years. And that is a Bible college. And the Bible college was designed not for full-time people. It was designed for the body so that all of us could have an opportunity. You receive a flyer like this. You can pull it out now or later. But it's called Faith Bible Institute of Biblical Studies. We have seen the value of making the Word available for people to study and not just to glance at it, but to really dig in and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. And that has been the Bible school. We offer courses. Cheryl and I, in 1972, 73, and 74, we attended this Bible school. My beginnings into the Word of God were the Bible school that we still offer today, where people meet on a Tuesday night. Tuesday night, that means I have to give up another night. Yeah. But it's worth it. What are you doing with that other night? Well, man, Person of Interest is on TV. And I like that show. Tape it. You know? But do you know what we've done? We said, okay, we know it's hard for people to get out an extra night. So what we did is we put them on Sunday morning. So you can come Sunday morning, go to a Bible school, go to one of the classes that are offered here, and then come to service, and you get it all on Sunday. We cannot make it more convenient for you to do, but you've got to take some initiative. Got to be able to sit in a class and listen and then take it home. But I'll tell you, it was one of the most exciting times of my life. And as I look out, people shake their head when I start talking about it. To get into the Word and then take a subject home and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to you about that subject and show you things in the Word of God. Man, it lights a fire in your heart. And not only does it light a fire in your heart, but then when you're faced with a decision, because the Word of God says, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen, you need a lamp in this day that we live in, a day of darkness. Then it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God, and I sum it up, is kind of like a sword that goes in and divides between what is not of God and what is of God. And I don't know about you, but when you're raising your kids, when you're making decisions on the job, when you're making personal decisions at times of temptation, you need the Word of God that's springing upside in your heart and saying, this is the way to go. No, don't go that way. Go this way. How many know what I'm talking about? That's important. You don't just get that by putting this book on your head and saying, okay, God, fill my head and fill my heart. No, you got to open it up. You got to take some initiative. But when the shaking comes, it's going to be well worth it. Would you stand with me, please? So, connect, serve, and grow. The why behind it. You need to connect. You need to serve. You need to grow. We've put these displays out here. I want you to go, and here's how we're going to dismiss after I pray for you. First of all, the prayer teams are going to make their way up here. We're always remain behind. If you have a prayer need, you have a challenge before you, have a request, you can come up and someone will agree with you. We've seen some tremendous answers to prayers this way. By the way, just a gentleman came up to me last week, and just simply, this is what happens at the end of service sometimes. He comes to me and he says, "You probably don't remember me." He said, "But 10 years ago," he said, "you told people to come up and pray, and I came up in prayer, and I had cancer, and you prayed for me." He said, 10 years ago, he said, "I went to California, and I come back to Denver, and I just want to let you know I've been healed of that cancer." I never even knew it was 10 years ago. This person said, "I've been healed. I don't have cancer." It's like sometimes we're looking for just to kind of express itself in the moment. You just don't know. So if you have a prayer need, we believe in prayer. We believe God answers all the prayers in one way or another. Anyway, back to this. I challenge you to go out, get a cup of coffee, hang around a little bit. Denver's not playing today. You know? So hang around, go around and visit. There's a whole map there, and something might be stirring in your heart. Maybe there's nothing and you don't really know. Just go out and ask God. You know, should I be involved in this? Should I sign up for the Bible school, folks? Say, let's do it. Say it to yourself and say it to your mate. Let's do this together. Cheryl and I had a blast doing it together. We'd go home and I'd always copy her papers and I'd always pass. And there's a lot of truth to that. No. But we learned together. We grew together in faith. And it got us going on a discipline of getting into the Word of God. It takes a little while to get that discipline, but it got going. I encourage you. And I encourage you as your pastor. Because these are things that are important to your life. These are going to help you. I can't always be there with you. There's others. We can't always be there with you. But if you've got these foundational things in your life going for you, if you're connected on a regular basis, if you're serving, if you've got the Word just flowing through your life, you're going to make it. Let me pray for you. Then I'll dismiss you to go. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, who's the cornerstone of our lives, Lord, we want this year and the years leading up to your return, we want them to be fruitful years. We want to order our lives in such a way that what we're involved in is the kingdom. And Lord, we know that we can be distracted. We confess we have been distracted. We're entangled too much, Lord, in the world system and its culture. We're too much looking for things that are just please us and bring comfort to us. Father, let our hearts be changed by your Spirit. Stir us, oh God, that when we say light a fire, what we're really meaning, oh God, is we want something to happen in our lives. Lord, because I know all of us are going to be faced with the shaking. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And Father, we know that includes our own lives, simply because that's what we're surrounded with. But Lord, I am believing for everyone in here that, Lord, they'll be able to stand in the day of adversity. Stand strong, oh God. Lord, continuing to magnify and glorify you and giving praise to you through our lives. Because, Lord, we've taken initiative and put these things in place. We position ourselves in the right place for a blessing from you. Go with us now as we go, Lord, as we give you all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's give God praise. Go ahead, be dismissed. Take some time out there. And I want to tell you, if you don't sign up for something or do something, you're wrong. I'll leave you with that. And God bless you.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.